Rough Trade is giving away a third of the first 3 months of the Rough Trade Club plus new music membership exclusively to 101 Part-Time Jobs listeners. Become a member of Rough Trade Club New Music and you'll receive the Rough Trade Album of the Month straight to your door every month on an exclusive vinyl pressing with bonus material. Club members have received exclusive pressings of albums from Sufjan Stevens, Sprints, The Last Dinner Party, English Teacher, and Over Mono, just to name a few, this past year alone. Sign up using the promo code CLUB101POD and you'll get Rough Trade's Album of the Month, Camera Obscura's Look to the East, Look to the West, for a third of the usual price. By signing up, you'll be getting Rough Trade's exclusive issue of the album on opaque purple in a gatefold sleeve, plus a bonus CD containing 5 demos. Don't want the album of the month but still want all the benefits? Sign up to the standard tier using CLUB101POD and you'll still get the first month free. You'll also get free shipping on all orders, 10% off at the bar and on secondhand vinyl in store, and exclusive access to sold out Rough Trade events. So don't hang around. Head to roughtrade.com/club and sign up with the code CLUB101POD. That's CLUB101POD and claim money off Rough Trade's Album of the Month today. This offer is for UK residents only. Do you play in bands? I did for the longest time, and I wish that I knew that DistroKid was a thing. I don't even think it existed back then. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads, and artists keep 100% of your royalties and earnings. 1 million+ artists rely on DistroKid to get their music on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all the major streaming services. When you get DistroKid, you can see a DistroKid bank and withdraw your earnings. You get notified when you've earned royalties and you can withdraw via the app. And you can even check your streaming stats on Spotify and Apple. Get 30% off your first year on DistroKid by going to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. 30% off for your first year. That's not bad. We know it's a tough world out there. Why don't you make it easier for yourself? And to get 30% off that free year as an artist, where you get 100% of your royalties and earnings, go to distrokid.com/VIP/101pod. All right, stay with me. I'll be right back after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Tiger.
I'm Felix. We're in divorce. And we're here at Rough Trade East.
101 Part-Time Jobs Podcast. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we love you.
Okay, it's 101 Part-Time Jobs. I'm Giles Bidder. And on Saturday, me and the team were at Rough Trade East. It was Record Store Day 2024. We spoke to some excellent artists that were playing there that day, including Divorce. Felix and Tiger did a strip back set, and we spoke to them just backstage before they played. Here's our chat. They've got a new single out called Gears. I highly recommend it. If you don't know this band, go and change that immediately. Here's Tiger and Felix from Divorce, from Record Store Day at Rough Trade East. Tiger, Felix, we're at Record Store Day.
Hi.
Rough Trade East.
Yes.
Record Store Day 2024. Record Shop Day to some. Depends how kind of British you want to remain.
We're kind of neutral on that. Record Store Day is fine. We're not precious. Yeah.
Neutral Milk Hotel. Neutral,
exactly. Yeah. That band. Yeah. We're not that band.
What was the first record you remember buying for yourself? The first LP?
I bought Cabaret, the soundtrack to the film, from a place called Rob's Records in Nottingham, which is like really, really stocked to the nines. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nothing's in any kind of order. It's a big mess really, but it's an amazing shop. And yeah, I bought that from there, and it was, I didn't know anything about records, and it was really scratched and it just didn't really work. But
that's the beautiful thing. I feel like I don't know much about records. even though I spend most of my day listening to stuff. Mm. And that's kind of the thing about music, is there's just always going to be more than you'll ever be able to know.
Yeah.
What's your way of getting through that feeling and making that potentially overwhelming feeling a good one?
Well, I think...
Easy question.
I think, for me, I always find records through other artists, really, usually. It's like to know, like, who's working on what records and stuff.
Producers and engineers.
I find that really interesting.
Studios.
And then, like, you kind of end up looking at, like, who they work with, who they're inspired by, and then, like, watching interviews and things, and, yeah.
And divorce becoming a pretty full-time thing. I mean, it looks full-time on the...
Yeah.
How is that kind of... You know, you're putting, presumably, you tell me, but you're putting more time and thought, energy, brain work into music and what different stuff sounds like and what you like and what you can envision for divorce.
Yeah.
Have you found a kind of routine or a kind of discipline of reaching out beyond what you'd usually try and listen to?
I've been like eternally insecure about this, actually. I'm really not that good at finding new music. I'm very like comfort oriented with music, but I will obviously on occasion find something that blows my mind and like I get obsessed with.
Well, you're not alone. I mean, I think a lot of people have that. You know, we do listen to records that we know, and to go outside of our... I think that's what people say when they say go outside your comfort zone.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really important to not give yourself a hard time in that sense. Like, and if you are drawing inspiration from a smaller pool of records or whatever, you know, your art form is, that's okay. And really... it's not about forcing it. And like, I think for a long time I was like trying to get into things quickly because I felt like I'd wasted so much time not finding new music that I was like, oh yeah, I like this and I like this and I like this. And actually I didn't like a lot of the stuff that I'd kind of like haphazardly got together.
But also like when you're sharing a van all the time, as we are, like we end up kind of influencing each other's listening habits. So like, and the four of us listen to pretty wildly eclectic stuff. So there's always kind of new things that you end up finding whilst on tour. Mm-hmm. Or like, Casper's been a good one for me at like opening up my palette a little bit.
Yeah. Casper's a DJ at Bodega in Nottingham, and he's kind of a legend. And he has such a like wide eclectic pot of music that he just puts on. Like he will rarely put the same song on. Brilliant. In the van, and it will like span the genres as well.
He's good at finding like nice happy things to listen to as well, because if it weren't for Casper, I'd just listen to horrible sad music.
What's been the biggest surprise?
He put on a Beck tune the other day. I've never much been like, I can't say that I wasn't into Beck, I just hadn't explored it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I would like to listen to Beck.
Yeah.
He puts on all kinds of things. Casper loves Jamiroquai.
Hell yeah.
He loves Jamiroquai. They're his like childhood. Like, I don't want to say it defines his music taste, but like we've listened to quite a lot of Jamiroquai in the van because of Casper.
Well, Jamiroquai, there's a lot of, as a younger person, and maybe 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh, you know, I'm not a fashionable person. Fashion doesn't interest me. Mm-hmm. But of course, fashion goes into everything that you do, whether you know it or not. Jamiroquai is a great example of that, because Jamiroquai's aesthetic is a part of the music. When you listen to those songs, you're looking at the artwork, you're looking at the photos, you're looking at the hat.
The hat, yeah.
Mm. Iconic.
Yeah.
Overused word, iconic, but it really is. I think it deserves it.
Yeah. Later on, the choice of headwear for Jay, I can't abide by. Not good. But the big hat that he wore in like the 90s was pretty sly.
You are so busy. Divorce is doing so much. How are you finding that on personal levels?
Yeah, I think like it's been really good. I don't know. I think we're a very good team in terms of keeping each other well and like okay, even though it can be overwhelming at times. But ultimately I think also we've been working for this opportunity to be really busy for years and years, when you know at times it was really not busy at all. And if it was busy, it was just because, like, we were just doing insane things to try and be busy. Stuff we're getting to do is really fun and, like...
And you're putting out music pretty consistently. It feels like you're putting out a single every few months. Yeah. And as a band now, there's so many things you can do. You can put out records in different ways, music videos. There's like, a lot beyond the music. There's a lot that goes into the vision of that.
I feel like Divorce is still quite a young band. We're kind of following the formula at the moment, because the formula is a lot of work, like music videos, recording, touring, takes up a lot of time. But I can totally see us going into other art forms at some point, like in the way that cool creative people kind of inevitably end up doing. It could be great to make a documentary about something that we do.
Yeah.
I don't know. We know lots of really talented like photographers and cinematographers as well. And it'd be great to work with them. I think that's like personally something I would love to do.
And they're at our kind of disposal now, cameras and people who go to art school have, you know, projectors and just ways, parties. You know what I often think is that I think there needs to be more parties, more physical things to go to. And I don't mean parties for party's sake, just to get drunk or whatever, but like actually go see some music and be somewhere physical.
Yeah.
Because that's just pretty, I think that's pretty radical to do actually now.
Yeah, I think it's harder and harder to get people in one place all kind of doing a similar thing, because everyone is incredibly busy and I don't know, everyone does things through their phones very easily, so it's hard to entice people out. But I've always been kind of interested in doing something kind of like longer form than like a like in a live sense, that is
like a 24-hour gig.
Yeah.
Marathon gig.
Yeah.
I think it's like interesting. I feel like what you described is what I sort of imagined before I was in music, like a scene would be. But I don't know if we've ever been much of a scene band. Like, we've been a band in the Nottingham scene, but the Nottingham scene, it's small. It definitely does do things like what you've described, but I think us as a band haven't personally been involved with a lot of stuff like that. And I think it's like, it's very community-based and like, I love the idea of it, but I think it's been difficult. Like, we're post-COVID. It's just hard to get things like that together. But yeah.
It comes in waves, and it depends on the like, people. It takes a couple of people to be really interactive, really engaged, and like book out the venue, for example. And then those people move out of town. It's just scenes come in waves.
Yeah.
Scenes are pretty fluid.
Yeah, I think also just because where we've been life-wise, especially the two of us, over the last like 2-3 years since we started the band, like, I don't know, we don't, neither of us are people who like stay in one place for very long.
Your van keeps on breaking down.
Which makes it easier to stay in one place.
We can't talk about the van curse.
We've lifted the curse. We've had like a lot of, we get tagged in a lot of spellcaster posts about Divorce because I think they think it's not a good thing.
Felix Tiger, thank you very much. 101 part-time jobs.
Thank you.
I've spoken to you a few times before and we talked a lot about your jobs as a gardener.
Yep.
And various things to do with the theatre and being around Nottingham. Are there any jobs you haven't told me about? Are there any jobs that really, you know, you maybe you don't want to think about and now I'm going to irk out of you?
Jobs?
Yeah.
What is the weirdest job? I worked in an optician's.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that?
No.
Oh, yeah.
That was... I like wore glasses. I don't need glasses. But the optician was convinced that it would make people trust me.
So you got the job, and you're not as a non-glasses wearing person.
I have very good eyesight.
You got very good eyesight, and so did
very
your,
lucky.
Did your boss say, Tiger, here's a pair of glasses that you should wear?
No, it wasn't as straightforward as that, and I'm not going to name my boss or the opticians that I worked at.
We don't do that here.
Because I don't think, I was young as well, and I was on board with it. The glasses, I liked them a lot as well. I wanted an excuse to wear them. I regret it. I regret the decision. I duped people into thinking I was wise to what it feels like to have bad eyesight.
I used to get the 3D glasses from the cinema and take the lenses out of them and wear them at school. That was like
that is
really
cool.
In. Did you do that?
That was. And you'd have a t-shirt that said geek on it well, if anyone remembers
you
that.
Wear bowling
and
shoes.
Like the sort of side fringe. Bowling shoes, no.
No.
They've never really had a moment.
Not for me. Never had bowling shoes. I worked for a company selling flower subscriptions door to door. That was kind of horrible. They were very... They liked the cell, and I wasn't very good at the cell. Yeah, it was a really odd job, and they'd kind of follow us around and think and try and tell us how our pitches could be better.
Micromanage.
Yeah, really micromanaging, and the pay was bad. The pay was really bad. They were like, oh yeah, there's no minimum. You don't get a minimum thing, it's just commission after the first couple of weeks. Which is pretty awful. Yeah, that was London.
Character building.
Yeah, pretty bad. Pretty bad.
Thank you very much. 101 Part-Time Jobs, Record Store Day 2024. Yeah. Divorce on 101 Part-Time Jobs. That was them from Record Store Day at Rough Trade East. Thanks to Rough Trade for having us. A lot of the records that were put out specially for Record Store Day, you can still buy at Rough Trade. There are going to be a few left over this week, so if there was something that you saw was coming out that you had your eye on, chances are there still might be a few flying around. So head to Rough Trade, browse the Record Store Day selection, and pick your fancy. All right, we got a couple more left, including Miles Kane, Dog Unit, and also Juno Dream. So stick around for those. Should be releasing them in the next hour. Later this day, it's the 22nd of April. We've also got a reel coming up on Instagram. Check us out at 101 Part-Time Jobs Pod, on TikTok as well, and also on YouTube. So you search 101 Part-Time Jobs there, and you can find our videos. Thanks to Nick and Olivia, who have recently joined the team. And thank you for listening.